Hello, everyone. Welcome.
We already got the laughters going, and we'll probably be continuing it. But welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, your main host and frontman for the show. With me once again is the one, the only, Big Candy.
Hello.
Once again, Zombie Bunny is not here. She's witnessing two cats sitting on each other.
Oh, yeah. I had to think about that. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, after that Linkin Park joke.
Yeah, we can't.
Well, we might.
We might revisit that.
To see how many people listen to our episode.
Right? You bastards.
But, I know this festival is a little bit early on our schedules normally because we do the hostels at the end of the month. Yeah. But
it's kind of the end of the month. It's only
it's beginning. We're recording at the end, but it's going to be going in
that's
the beginning.
That's true.
Because a lot, we had the San Diego Comic Con happen. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of other stuff.
Scare and Secure Weekend happened. Dead people everywhere.
I mean, a lot of stuff happened over the past week, and it was like, oh, we got to get together and just...
Car accidents.
Everything. It was like, we got to get together and talk about shit. Yeah. So, not to mention, towards the end, there might be a little bit of rant from me in reference to the data... Destiny 2 beta. Uh-oh. That just dropped.
Data beta.
But... First things first, updates from Big Candy. I know it's been like,
I'll start with what happened over the weekend. So I wrecked my car. We were at a friend's child's birthday, and should I say it?
You could say it. See how many people listen.
Where I made, and this is probably why I wrecked my car. This is karma getting me. I made the reference. I said, "I'm sorry. I would have got something better for your kid," but it was Linkin Park tickets. So, yeah.
And before the show, when he told me that, I said, I could have added to the comment, but I guess now, in the end, it doesn't really matter, does it? But
anyway, we're making light of something.
That's tragic, and I know it's part of the healing process.
It is. I saw Linkin Park live, so I can't say that I wasn't a person who liked them. So.
Overall, I know we're getting in a little bit earlier in reference to that. I was a fan, but not really, you know, a heavy listener.
Yeah, right.
They were a decent band.
Yeah, right.
They put out good music. Tragic that it was. The thing is, I saw two. Before I could get into the other report, the main report I kept seeing being spread around online on social media was that it was suicide, but. Like
suicide
a day,
by hanging.
But from what I saw later on that day or the next day, it seemed there was like one or two reports that were coming out that it was supposedly murder, but it was made to look like suicide.
And then there was some satanic thing now.
But there's
just people making up a lot of stuff. So,
I don't know if it was actually murder. Before I could look into that report.
Yeah.
Yeah, Facebook decided to update because as soon as I launched the app, and when you do that, that could be that one article you want to read, and before you tap on it, it's gone. And when you look for it, it's like, oh, where the fuck did it go?
Right.
And you could check three different mobile devices, your desktop, ask God, you know, do a Google search, and you know, make a sacrifice to Satan, and nobody knows where the fuck it went to.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to give up on that. So,
So then I wrecked my car in a ditch because I went to scratch my eye because I was like kind of tired. We've been swimming all day. And this is, mind you, this is like 30 miles into the woods, like on a mountain in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere. No cell phone signal, nothing. had the car in front of me with my friends in it, not seeing that I had, like, gone missing from the back of them and they came back, I would have been stranded, like, for realsies. I went to, like, scratch my eyes or, like, itch my eye, you know, because I had some, I was, like, starting to get really tired. I was actually going to stop at their house, which is, like, partway between there and my home, and, like, rest up for, like, an hour or two and then start driving again. So, scratch my eye, and then in West Virginia, and especially on mountains, they decide to, like, where the road is and where, like, the side of a mountain or a hill is, to dig a ditch that's about 4 feet deep. And I had just slipped off the gravel going around the curve and went in, like, and then up onto the hill and then back down into the ditch and then back onto the road. And it was enough to, like, wreck two tires on my car.
At least it was just two tires.
Right. I got out thinking the thing was going to be, like, banged up, like, dented, like, you know, totally screwed up. And luckily it wasn't. Luckily it was just two tires. But 5 hours of sitting in the dark on a mountain waiting for a tow truck was enough to unnerve me. About 3 hours in, the battery died on the car from the flashers going off. So, like, I'm sitting in there listening to the radio, just chilling with my kid, and then all of a sudden, boom. And then all you can see is the dark and the flashers. And you talk about every horrible thing you can think of from, like, a horror movie or a bear attack. And it doesn't help that 2 weeks prior, I was listening to a documentary on YouTube about disappearances in national parks, and this just happened to be in George Washington National Park.
In reference, the reason why I'm kind of laughing is because I heard that Coast to Coast episode, like, many years ago, and I think a brief little thing on YouTube, not a full hour-long documentary, but it was like a little brief thing on YouTube.
I'm like, what horse shit am I going to see tonight?
And so, knowing you, if you got pissed, it would have been... You would have heard, and all of a sudden from the car, bring it, fucker. I'm in here 4 hours, 39 minutes, and 16 seconds.
You buck-toothed hillbilly fuckboy. I'll show you deliverance. Come here. Zip. What? Uh-oh.
Fuck you. Come around the side of the car. I'll make you happy.
So put the banjo where the sun don't shine. So speaking of which, we're strange and weird things besides that. I came across an interesting article on YouTube last night, actually.
Well, you mean video.
Or video, sorry.
Unless it's one of those YouTubers that don't like to talk and just put text on the top of the screen.
More or less, yeah, it was kind of like that, but kind of like... It was just an info doc, really, and just, like, with some stuff about Tom DeLonge. Okay, you don't know who Tom DeLonge is. The band Blink-182?
Yeah.
Okay. He was, like, one of the lead singers, and then all of a sudden, like, 3 years ago, I mean, he's been into it forever, but 3 years ago, he officially split from the band to pursue a career in ufology. So, like... He's one of the top ufologists out there now. He was actually mentioned in the WikiLeaks John Podesta emails as having conversations on Disclosure with John Podesta, you know, who was, you know, one of the White House aides or whatever, with Hillary Clinton and all that stuff. So there was a thing on there about he got the 2017... something, I had the notes, I can't remember what it said, but it was like Ufology International, like, Researcher of the Year Award. I'm like, what has he done? So I start looking it up, and there's like a thing on there where he just keeps talking about, well, in 60 days, I know things I can't say, and I'm going to reveal this, and I'm going to reveal that. And I look, and months later, it was like 4 months ago, nothing's been revealed, nothing's been said, nothing's been... done. I'm like, why is he getting Researcher of the Year and he hasn't done anything? Well, come to find out, like, sometime last year, he had a meeting with, like, all these top, like, major generals and people that were, like, part of the government a guy that was with Ray Patterson, a guy that was with NORAD, and a guy that was with Navy Space Command, whatever, you know, people that do the satellite shit. And apparently, like, he had all this stuff that he was going to disclose over time, and he said, if you're ready, you got to watch and read it in between the lines, and, like, all the information's going to be, like, out there, but, you know, you can come along for the ride. And we're just like, okay, I'm ready. And mind you, this is months ago. I looked everywhere for anything about disclosure, anything that it's like now he's in hiding. So then I came across this thing with, it was a guy that was, he was being interviewed. I can't remember his name. He was being interviewed and he was talking about, there's like five individuals who like have done this in the past. And these are the ones that the government is basically feeding bullshit to you know, keep this lie going on and on and on. Because I don't know if it's about aliens or if it's just about secret technology or if it's about just, like, you know, weapons and whatever. But they're trying to, like, point people in the wrong direction. It's like a you know, a smokescreen for something. But you got, apparently, Tom DeLonge, it's like, what do they call them? Like, the five messiahs or something like that. Because, like, they all think that they know all this information. They all think that they know right. And they all think that they're going to lead us to this new, you know, information. So it's like Tom DeLonge, what's the guy from back in the guy who was on Coast to Coast all the time?
I think,
I know Stephen Greer's another
one. Not Stephen Greer, but I know you're talking. He put out the thing about Mars a couple years ago,
right.
Many, many years ago. It's like an RH name.
Yeah.
Hoagland, Richard T. Hoagland.
Right. Okay, Hoagland, and then there was, what was the other guy's name? The guy that was the scientist at Area 51. Anyway, one of those guys. And then somebody else. So apparently all these guys have been misled. And this is according to this guy who was in an interview. He is saying that all these guys are being misled on purpose and that the disinformation that they're putting out is, you know, basically
bullshit.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. It's just disinformation that, you know, the government's feeding to these guys and they're putting it in books and putting it in documentaries and stuff. And I found it very interesting that somebody like Tom DeLonge, who tried to use his celebrity to do, I guess, what he thought was the right thing, he got caught up in it too and got fed the same line of bullshit all these other people who, they all seem like they're really smart, like really intelligent people, but they just get wrapped up in this stuff and then they
go down that rabbit hole. And
right. So you never know, like, what's true and what's, you know, false, and you know.
It's that also part of that self-replicating bullshit reference to, they might not be making millions of dollars,
right?
But they're probably making a decent living in the UFO community.
Well, they're
Know it's bullshit now, but they're so they believe in their own bullshit,
right?
I'm not going to name names or who might be one of that because it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, but that one guy who they definitely know was bullshit because he was saying that he filmed aliens in his house.
I know you're talking about.
And then they called him a child porn. So, but yeah, that guy.
I was watching that documentary on.
Right.
I'm not fully done with it, but, you know, it's.
Yeah.
I was just watching him, like, you know, some of the shit that he's saying sounds extremely like.
And the thing where he's throwing the pen at himself.
Yeah,
in the interview.
From security. We mentioned it last household from Secure Team 10.
I don't know. It's just people that discredit the movement, like, really, you know, like, you know, I believe in stuff? Yes. Have I seen stuff that I can't explain? Yes. Do I think it's UFOs? I don't know what it is. I can't say.
See, that's the thing. You have not only the government possibly doing discreditive shit,
right.
You have a lot of people. I think we brought this up several times on the show, who are
dealing out bullshit hoaxes anyway.
Yeah.
But you have, that's one, two separate people.
Right.
Because I want to make the distinction of the third set, which is because we have cameras and built in to our phones nowadays, like the new iPod that I have in my hand right now, I could easily download the whatever the movie maker is for Mac OS, edit the footage on my iPod, and upload it to YouTube.
People do it all the time.
And those people discredit.
It's even worse.
And so it makes it even compounds the problem.
There's so much bullshit and misinformation out there that it's hard to like distinguish. Like, well, and there's also things that people aren't familiar with too, like things that are easily like misleading. Like, I was actually watching a thing on ball lightning one night, which is a real thing. It's just super rare to ever see it, and when you do, it's like a spectacle. You're like, you don't know what you're looking at. You're like, oh my god, what is this? It's like you would think aliens, you would think ghosts, you would think mystical, like you would think like anything but, you know, ball lightning or something, a natural phenomenon. Like, if you've ever heard of what is it called, St. Elmo's fire?
Right.
It's the same thing. Like, it's at the top of a ship, just because of how the, you know, particles in the atmosphere gather around the pole. I mean, it looks like it's on fire. It's glowing. It's weird. It's like, you know, a strange phenomenon. You heard of something called sun dogs?
Yeah.
It's like light reflecting off of rain droplets in the atmosphere, and it looks like light dancing in the air. Like, you know, I always see stuff like that, and I'm like, can you imagine what people that didn't have the technology that we have and the science that we have, what they thought of things like that? I mean, that may very well interpret things in, like, you know, ancient history that people said, oh, there were gods and this, that, and the other, because they saw phenomena like that. Like, so now, because of TV media and, like, disinformation, like, we all think the same thing. Like, if that ball lightning, we see that, or we see a sun dog, or we see something like that, you know, we always think, oh, it's UFO. It's the first place we go. I can't explain a lot of stuff, but, yeah, there is a lot of disinformation out there, too.
And even though it only takes, out of maybe 1,000 cases that you might look at, that there is that 990 that are completely fucking BS.
Right.
That make you question the remaining 10.
Yeah.
You know, or what that could be either because the true, we said this before in the past episode, it was I think our original Halloween episode, that the true definition of a UFO in this case is an unidentified flying object, which means if you're out at night, you see something moving, blinking across the sky, you don't know, because it might be too high up to hear the engine. In essence, true essence of the definition, that is a UFO.
Right.
But in reality, it's just probably a Cessna.
Right, or a satellite.
Or
space junk, or a ball lightning.
That's true definition. It's just, yeah. Just that.
It's an unidentified flying
object. Yeah. But to kind of move on to a little bit more, something more cheery, for those of you more believable, believe it or not, last hostful you heard us talk about me applying for our press pass to Otacon, and for those of you following us on Twitter and possibly Facebook as well, we did get our press pass for Otacon, which is... It is in itself an accomplishment. Very shocking. The reason why I thanked Matt Burns for it, because
he questioned that, didn't he?
Yeah, he questioned, like, why? I told a few people that, in reference to it, I look at it like this. It's like going from the minor leagues to the majors.
Right.
And in that sense, I am not knocking Matt Burns in any way, shape, or form. Especially,
he's got a documentary coming out. What's he talking about?
Especially if you know anything about sports, that any sports genre that has a minor league type team, it's a way for, kind of a way, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, a way for a sports team to say, hey, we think
this person has potential, but not enough potential for our team, so we're going to just put him in the minors for a little while until he seasons up a little bit.
Let him marinate.
But a lot of teams, especially in baseball, if they need somebody, they're going to pull somebody from their minor league team to the majors, and that's how I feel in reference to this. And Matt is that minor league team. He's the one that pretty much said, hey, come on in, work this panel, work my shows, do the interviews. So it, when you have a big promotional convention like Otakon, some shows do require to show evidence that you were able to prove yourself.
Right.
And Otakon didn't have a 3-month or 4-month limit to go back on.
Right.
So I was able to at least go back, at least show our most recent hostful. I'm like, wait a minute, they didn't have a 3-month limit on this. Let me go back and pull up an episode from the panel that we did in Matt's winner show, our Dino when Dinos Attack panel.
Right.
And because I had to use my ace in the hole in reference to that. Because there was that loophole, hey, no time limit. I'm like, wait a minute, I did interview the person who voices Jesse from Pokemon.
True.
And since that is classified as an anime,
there you go.
Boom. And the other stipulation was 2 years. I gave a brief description of the show, and I'm like, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to get this fucking press pass all about bad mouthing. I've been talking about Otakon over the past guy. No, see. And all of a sudden, a few weeks later, not even 2 weeks later, I get the message. I'll bring it up on the phone. Because, when I read it, it's like, hello, you.
Now, when did they mail you your badge?
I got to pick it up.
Pick it up. Are there certain stipulations that you got to follow? Or?
Just that I have to. Oh, here it is.
Do you have backstage access?
The thing is, I got to. If I want to interview one of the celebrities, I have to put in a form to request an interview. Uh-huh. But because I'm not sure of the scheduling, I am just going strictly out because to interview people, ticket holders, I don't have to do that, or vendors, meaning if Crunchyroll is there, I could go up and like, hey, can I talk to you guys about Crunchyroll? I'm press, I can do that. I'm within my rights.
Right.
But and at that point, if they have somebody sitting at their table, celebrity, that would be up to them.
Right.
Meaning if,
say no, are you going to pout really hard and have a big teardrop?
I should. Just stomp off. But it says this email confirms the receipt and only the recipient, which means, has been approved for Otakon 2017 as a member of the registered press. You'll also be added to our registered press email mailing list, and it gives their hours of operation.
Right.
And it's just the hotel right next to the convention center. All to do is go and pick it up at 9 a.m. And just head on in.
How many days is it?
It's, I guess, 4 days, 3-4 days.
Are you doing the whole thing?
No, I. For me to do I'm only doing Friday.
Okay.
Because I would have to take off at least one of those days. And so I'm just going to take the train into D.C. the Friday.
Right.
My thought is if they have something for the press in reference to the press-only panel, I'll
attend. Oh,
it's in D.C., not Baltimore, which is they moved it to D.C., and
is this first year in D.C.?
First year in D.C.
Oh, okay.
So
at the convention center?
At the convention center.
Oh, well, that's a lot bigger space for it.
So my thoughts.
Baltimore is so it got to be so small for it.
Yeah, that's what part of my thoughts is. In my head, at least my plans for the episode afterwards, because I have to, in essence, cover it and give my thoughts and so forth and so on.
Right.
I might put whatever interviews I get
at the tail end, but what I'm planning on doing is kind of a little bit, the plan comes from when John Johnson was doing his DV Diner type of thing, like give it as a fan standpoint and as a filmmaker standpoint, then to give his thoughts.
Right.
As the episode is, giving it is, you know, when I was there back in 2006 as a fan, why I didn't like it, this, so forth and so on, and kind of move into how it changed, it being in a new city, new convention center, and how it fits in the new convention center, and how they might have changed since I was there many, many years ago.
Right.
So, and give the interview, give my thoughts, and write down. I'll probably have some sort of notebook with me, just jotting notes.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure.
And I'll have my recorder with me, which has been running on the same battery since 2015. But
so who's the major guest this year?
A lot of people I don't recognize because I'm not that heavy into anime.
Yeah.
It's not like when I look over the list for an Awesome Con or a Baltimore Comic Con that I know, like, okay, I know this artist and this celebrity and this artist. And it's that, and being going into something as a casual, super casual fan, it's kind of hard because as you have, whereas, and I'm mentioning in the episode for Otakon where a lot of fans, there's no room for casual fans.
Right.
It's like walking into a sports convention that if you're a casual collector, it's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
And if you're going there to learn about the hobby, it's like they don't want to tell you
bad
jack
place
shit.
To learn.
Yeah, they don't want to tell you jack shit.
All they want to know is if you have money or not.
And sometimes that's the same thing with anime.
Yeah.
Or at least that fandom.
I can imagine.
That you want. Whereas going to a convention like an Awesome Con or a Baltimore Comic Con, it's so open in reference to the fandom that, hey, come on in. This is DC. Well, this is so forth and so on. But in anime, it's who the fuck are you? Why are you here? Oh, you don't know anything about anime or these particular shows?
Yeah.
But why the fuck did you come to the show? Why did you pay admission to the show? Well, I want to learn about the hobby. I want to be interested. Maybe watch one of these shows. What better way to learn?
Yeah.
But why the fuck did you come here?
Yeah.
If you don't know anything.
See, not to get ahead of us.
You're right.
But, and this is a perfect time to talk about it because, oh my God. So, Death Note.
Yeah.
There's a live action Death Note that has been created and it is coming out on the 26th of August.
Right.
So, to me, a casual fan, I saw the trailer and I'm excited. It looks cool to me. Like, I'm not too familiar with it at all because I never really watched it. But I get the premise of it. And to me, it seems like it's going to be a decent movie. But there is some serious, hardcore butthurt going on right now about this movie that I can't explain.
Right. It's almost the same type of butthurt, if not more so, that came out in reference to the Ghost in the Shell live action.
Right. Like, it's
and
so...
And the creators had no problems with the Ghost in the Shell live action.
Right, right. It's so bad. Like, the stuff that I've been saying in reference to... I'll watch the trailers and then, like, I'll read the comments. Big mistake. But I'll read the comments in all caps. You don't even understand manga. You don't understand the characters. Light wasn't like that. Burr, 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 burr. I'm like, they're trying to condense like a series into a 2-hour-ish movie. I mean, it's not going to be like what you want. It's going to be close, but it's not going to be the same thing. People have a hard time understanding how movies work.
It's kind of like in reference to putting a book, whereas it's easier to make a comic book movie, meaning let's bring Iron Man or Superman to the movies because they have a whole set of storylines and they are able to at least somewhat condense it to a 2-hour movie.
Look at it like a standalone tribute.
Right.
That's all you can do. I would look at stuff like that as a standalone tribute, like an idea of what the whole thing's about, but not exactly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can develop characters and a story and a soul and a feel over the course of a manga series,
right,
or a, you know, anime series. You can waste time with
or in reference to Dragon Ball Z. Oh, five episodes just of one character.
Oh, he's really building up his strength.
How long does it take Goku to change the light bulb? Four seasons. Four seasons, 10 episodes.
Yeah, and three different episodes and like and five shades of hair.
Right.
But no, and that's what I'm saying. Like, so in essence, they need to stop with this butthurt shit every time something comes out. Me as a casual fan, am excited by what I've seen. Did you? How many of the Death Note trailers did you see?
I've seen just maybe I think two.
Okay,
I was excited, and I've seen a very sizable chunk of the animated, not the manga, just the animated series that was put out,
right.
And I want to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Because after a while, I kind of lost interest in the animated series that was put out because I was just like trying to get into it, and after a certain point, it was like,
exactly.
Well, what? What's going on?
It's going to very much speed up a story that probably needs speeding up. So, to me, the characters seem like just really cool. Like, what's his face? That plays Ryuk, the demon.
Yeah.
What's his name? He was the bad guy in Spider-Man. Willem Dafoe. So Willem Dafoe, he's got that creepy voice anyway.
Yeah.
Somebody made the argument that like he's so ugly they wouldn't have to do the character they could have just put him in. But he's got the creepy voice for it, and like I think like in the trailer my favorite trailer that I saw for it. Where, like, you see the apple go across the ground, because apparently the character eats apples or something.
According to at least the anime from what I saw, apples to them are like cigarettes.
Right. And he's, like, handing him the pen and all that stuff and telling him to write the name down and all that stuff. I thought it was, like, super creepy and just, like, you know, like, you get where it's going. And so, like, me as a casual fan, as an outsider, am very into that. But me as a casual fan, as an outsider, I am the target of the otaku's hatred. They don't like people like us, so we don't get it.
Like, oh, you want to watch an anime? It's got to be in the original Japanese. And my response is like, listen, I'm a somewhat casual fan. I don't have time to watch a motherfucking episode of whatever your favorite anime is three motherfucking times. What do you mean three times? Once to read it, another time to watch it, and another time to catch what I fucking missed.
Right.
I don't have that time to watch one episode three motherfucking times. Give it to me in English, or English dubbed, and if I want to watch it with the subtitles on to get the true meaning of what they said, then I'll do it.
Right.
I'll come back to it, and I'll consider it like a DVD feature.
And they'll hate you for liking Attack on Titan. They'll hate you for liking anything newer that's popular. It's like, oh.
And the Attack on Titan fans will hate you because you like Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
The Dragon Ball Z fans will hate you because you like anything else, including Naruto. Naruto fans will hate you for liking Yu-Gi-Oh.
And they'll hate you for liking anything that doesn't star some girl with giant boobs and like, you know, in a bikini.
That's naked half the time.
Right. It's just like, oh my god. It's just too. It's personally, it's too much for me. I can't deal with it. Like I like some anime, but my love for anime goes only to like what I was introduced to back in the day, which is the Ninja Scroll, Vampire Hunter D, that kind of shit, Macross, you know, Robotech, all that stuff.
Same thing for me. Just the original
and
stuff.
You know, the original Akira. That's all I can watch. I can watch those and anything else.
I get into some of the stuff. I got into, surprisingly,
Shit.
You got
I think it was like Sword Tech Online or something like that.
SAO,
Sword Tech Online.
Yeah.
And it was pretty good. I started getting to the abridged version, which is funny as shit.
Yeah.
But at least there's that. But they're like, oh, the second season's out. Is it dubbed? No, it's in the perfect form. It's subtitled. Then I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to watch it. I'm not going to watch it.
It's the kind of people that watch anime and eat Pocky.
I could buy the DVD on the cheap and watch it dubbed, then if I had the money, I'd buy the DVD and watch it fucking dubbed. Because if I got to watch it online and subtitled, fuck yeah.
So did you want to get into the trailers now?
Yeah, let's get the depressing out of it. A little bit depressing.
The Dead.
The Dead. We spoke about lead singer Chester Bennington for a little bit in reference to Linkin Park. Yes, again, I wasn't a big fan. I did like a lot of their music.
Yeah.
It was a little bit one of those type of techno rock things or rap rock type bands.
Yeah.
But
I can't help but think Transformers every time I hear it.
But again, in the end, but it's just one of those things. Heard so many things about coming about it. It's said that someone with depression, I'll say this: when something like this happens in reference to Chester,
yeah,
it humanizes celebrities a little bit. It brings them down so many notches.
You gotta wonder why somebody with so much would be willing to end it all.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what problems did he have that he couldn't have solved with either his money or, you know?
It's one of those things that, in reference to what someone with his celebrity status, is that they either go into drugs because they can't wind down,
right?
And they need the drugs to help wind them down, or they just get addicted some way somehow.
Right. And then they probably get delusional too, and they don't realize like their value to people. Like, you know, like I hear a lot of people because of him dying. I'm not as much of one of those people, but I hear a lot of people say, man, he meant so much to me personally because of the music, and it helped me through this, that, and the other. And, like, I don't think somebody would do that knowing that people felt that way. So he had to be really wrapped up in his own brain and probably didn't think that anybody cared.
He probably had, I'm not saying that.
Which is
he
weird.
Probably had depression, which led to that, but it could have been something else going on as well.
Well, that's true.
In reference to severe anxiety, meaning that if you have depression and anxiety,
like expectations,
I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. And when that depression hits,
yeah,
it's maybe I should, you know, do myself in,
right,
make the world better for it. But
I don't know. People that commit suicide, it's really strange to me because, like, personally, my fight or flight response is always just to work harder. Like, if I feel like I'm screwing up or if I'm no good, like, my thing is, like, it's not to feel bad about myself. It's to go, all right, stop what you're doing, reinvent yourself, start over. I like me. I don't know how else to say it. I like me. I don't want to go anywhere. I like my family. You know, I love my family. I love my friends. I'm one of those people where, like, if there's something wrong, if my life is really screwed up, like, you know, I owe people money, haven't paid the rent yet, oh God, whatever, you know. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that stuff sucks, but I'll get through it. I just need to work harder. I don't know why. I just triple bear down. Like, things are kind of rough at home right now. Like, you know, I haven't been actually working since, like, March. So money's, like, scarce to us. But it just makes me work that much harder trying to get by than, you know,
Yeah.
Than to get to just sit there and give up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not. I can't do it. I can't fathom it. You know what I mean? When I think about it, and I'm not trying to put the guy down.
Right.
I'm not saying he's broken. That there's something wrong with people. That's their response to that. It's just I don't know how you get to that place where like that seems like the best idea.
Kind of part of that argument is like we just kind of discussed. Me and Earl kind of discussed a little bit or touched on it in mm-hmm. reference to
drugs
and all that, and making that recovery is that there's that chance that there are people that. Those people are surrounded by
true.
That they can't find their way up because, oh, you're not good enough. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why, you know, this, that, oh, your album didn't hit. Like in this case, he could have been surrounded by people, not his band members,
right.
who could have helped him out through this. And there's been many cases where, like even Keith Richards now, even though he had that past,
right.
he helps his band, like, come on, he's... I think Craig Ferguson said when he was with the band for a little while, kind of opening up for the band,
right.
he said Keith Richardson was like the band father. He was like he wasn't the front man. He was the band person. He was like, oh, you got better straighten up. What's the matter?
Right.
And he was kind of like, what's the matter? Need some help?
Right.
Let me get you help. Even I think you hear Tom Petty talk about one of his former bandmates that committed overdosed on drugs. He was like they were trying to get him help to overcome that.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, bands and band members and, you know, try to help each other, but there's also the people that they are surrounded by that kind of try to pull them back down.
I listen to a lot of motivational speakers and stuff too. That helps me out big time. Especially like Ray Lewis and people like that. But I listen to Gary V. Gary Vaynerchuk. He does a lot of business stuff. He's big into making people entrepreneurs and things. But one of his things is he views some people as just toxic to your life. Like people that they don't back you up, they actually bring you down. And I've heard of it before too. People that are like vampires. They suck the creativity, the life out of you. And it's not for any reason other than that they're not doing anything with their life or their time. So, like, where that, you know, it's somebody that you're friends with and you like. And so it could even be your parents, he said. He said, parents are famous for doing this. They don't want you to succeed secretly because they never did. So they'll bring you down. They'll say, well, you can't do that. And I've come into that. My parents, I love my parents, but they don't have any vision beyond going to work, coming home. You know, that's your life, and past that, you're not going to make it doing anything else. You have to go work for somebody else, make money that way. You know, put money in an IRA and hope that you can survive later on when you retire. That's how they think life is. And if you tell them any different, they're like, no, that won't work. Like, if you tell them, like, well, I want to do this for a living. No, that won't work. You have to do it this way.
I know if I'm doing what I'm doing now and my folks were still together and alive,
right.
and I told them, hey, I just got that Otacon press pass. It's step up. Really?
Yeah.
They'd be like, why are you going there?
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this whole podcasting
thing? You could be working. Yeah. It sucks too because like you want your parents to be your like number one fan. You want to impress them.
And so I can tell them like, listen, it's kind of training for, even though right now it's a hobby, it's training for something. If I went to a radio station to improve myself,
right.
I have that basic engineering station, you know, type of
right.
Training, minorly, but I have that foot in the door.
Yeah.
If I went. Decide to become, in essence, an on-air personality at a radio station,
right.
or for, you know, the government, for whatever reason, that they might need something like that. I have that training compared to somebody just trying to go in off the street.
Yeah.
I have something like that. If I want to go to a TV station, I have that training.
And it's funny because
why?
Yeah, right.
And as for toxic, you and I both know the goat loving woman that we once knew. It was that moment of clarity, you know, after, in essence, we broke up.
Right.
And or she walked away, depending on who you want to speak to. But either way,
clopped off.
Just that moment of clarity that when she left the lights on instead of turning them back off. And I just figured, why am I going down this fucking rabbit hole? She's pulling the same shit she did prior to us, you know, being kind of official.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't need this shit.
Nope.
No, I don't need this shit. And I said, you know, to myself, even before the relationship started, before I fell that madly in love, it was like, do I have the ability to end this if need be?
Right.
And that cynic that was growing inside me was like, I think we could. And it's like, at the end of it, it's like, you know, I'm going to have to lob, you know, metaphorically speaking, lob off my arm. And whatever, she got into her own fucking trouble, so I'm not going to go that on air. I'm not going to do that to her. You know, there's somebody online that's already doing that. So I'm like, oh, congratulations on you. Have fun. I'm just going to be over here in the stands with a bucket of popcorn. Thank you very much.
I guess as famous as you can be, you still have those toxic relationships. And it was probably something very much like that.
And you have a lot of people from, like, that you talk to on YouTube, all that are coming up, there are people that latch on. They're kind of like the fish that latch on to the sharks. They're just there to gain popularity. Yeah. And once they do it, they're going to stab you in the back and just,
when the next big thing comes along.
Right. And to move away from at least Chester for a little while, we also had another major passing. The godfather, I won't say the godfather, but the father of modern day zombies, George Romero, passed away. I got a chance to meet him about, when did we go to Horrifying? 2006?
Horrifying.
It was 2006. So he was the guest of honor for Horrifying. He's, even sitting down, he came off as he was very friendly. He was, seemed like a very tall fellow. Like he was like 6'3" or something like that, 6'4". I don't know his true height, but he just came off as a tall fellow, very nice and polite fellow. It's one of those passings that I don't think anybody expected.
No. Especially because I think he had some new stuff in the works too.
Yeah.
So everybody was real excited for anything he was getting ready to do, and just happened.
And like I said, the reason why I say he's the father of modern-day zombie films is because prior to, what did Night of the Living Dead come out, like 66, 67, something like that?
Yeah.
Prior to that, there were zombies in films, but they weren't...
They weren't either
the brain-eating or the flesh-eating type of zombies that we know. They were pretty much the voodoo type of zombies So forth and so on. If you had any type of Walking Dead type zombies, they were pretty much, or undead.
Yeah,
they were pretty much vampires.
So, did he coin the term Living Dead?
He might have.
I wonder.
So.
So yeah, that was a pretty sad day right there.
It was like first you had George Romero, then like a day or two later you had Chester Bennington. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you had the announcement of John Hurd passing away.
You forgot Martin Landau.
Martin Landau passed?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. I thought he passed. When did this happen?
It was right after Romero, same day.
I didn't hear about that.
Literally. But
I guess my feed was so full of, oh my God, George Romero. Oh my God, George Romero.
True, yeah. But yeah, same day. Then John Hurd. And then Jim Vance.
So, and for those who don't know, Jim Vance is a local news personality.
Yeah, out of Baltimore, I think. Or D.C.
Either D.C., Baltimore. Yeah. I think it might have been D.C.
I haven't had cable in a while. But he was, like, internet famous for the... he couldn't stop laughing with the sportscaster George Michael when they saw that woman walking in heels. and she fell at the fashion show, and they just kept rewinding it, and he couldn't stop laughing for the entire rest of the broadcast. So he was kind of like had his viral moment at some point.
So to now move on to a little bit something more cheerful.
Cheerful, yeah. Let's go
cheerful.
So San Diego Comic Con.
San Diego Comic Con. Despite them being, I haven't heard more in reference to the lawsuit that it's been having with San Diego Comic Con, because there was a lawsuit.
Oh Lord.
because for what a lot of people don't know. San Diego Comic Con has the quote-unquote exclusivity of the name Comic Con.
Oh, gosh.
And anybody using Comic Con has to have it in any spelling, any variation, has to have it licensed by San Diego Comic Con.
Bullshit.
Because they claimed that it's trademarked.
Wait a minute. How is that trademarked?
That's what it one.
So what
I think
if you say comic book convention, no. If you say Comic Con,
It's San Diego okay. Can come after you. If you say, "Oh, we're having a comic convention,"
yeah,
they San Diego can possibly put in say, "Oh, we want you to stop because it's so close to our Comic-Con, we don't want you to do it."
Yeah.
Yet,
I mean, I get why.
But Jesus. Because it's such comic conventions and pop culture conventions are such, I won't say in demand, they're becoming more and more frequent throughout the United States in various levels, from a lot small library convention all the way up to the larger ones that may be like a Baltimore or and everything in between, including the mat size
right.
conventions.
The
mat size. And I mean that with all loving respect to Matt, but it's the aspect.
I just like the idea of a mat size.
Mat size. It's the missus. Hola. Hola.
We have guests.
We have guests. It is. It's oh, I did. Big Candy's son just walked in and just went, "I'm Caleb."
From New York.
I can't.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Yes, your mic is plugged in and
you're
it
live.
Is live. So just letting you know.
So I better not snore, right?
Are you tired?
Yeah.
I was corrupt today. Since we had the one vehicle to come up, I said, "Well, you have to come with me, and then I'll take it over."
You rent my vehicle.
No.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yes.
To kind of put Big Candy's wife on the spot, we were watching a superhero, one of these, because in like L.A., in front of the Fu Manchu Theater, they have these costume people that you could pay to, or quote-unquote tip,
right.
to get your photo taken by, and they were, one part of the, this is when both Big Candy and his wife were living with me down in Inwood. She was passed out, and it was just one, this boring part of this documentary that me and Big Candy are watching. All of a sudden, she starts snoring. It was the perfect fit. It was
that was a bad doc.
It was just, she was, the person on the screen was just droning on how bad her life, and all of a sudden we hear, like, that's perfect.
Exactly.
But
Reno 911.
Oh, she fell asleep in Reno 911. I fell asleep in.
Well, I was also
the
sick
original
too.
Ghost.
She's like, "Let's go to the movies." I was like, "I'm like throwing up and everything. Sure, why not?"
But either way, I think it was the Phoenix Comic Convention,
yeah.
or one of the ones that was like in Arizona or Nevada, said, "No, we're going to take this to court," you know, because San Diego wanted that. To sue them over their name,
right?
Because they're using the Comic-Con aspect.
Oh.
So it was a, despite that and the pitch from Mile High Comics not showing up this year.
Yeah. Wow. So
we covered that in our last hostful a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We got a ton of trailers. coming out a ton.
Well, did you watch the leaked ones?
I watched some of the Infinity War trailer.
It was awesome.
But a lot of the ones that I was watching, I couldn't hear the trailer because everybody was like, Iron Man would come in and it was just like, really?
I mean, from what I saw though, visually, yeah, it was awesome. Okay, that one first. I like how they presented Thanos. Like, him, like, kind of getting out of the spaceship and just like, okay, I'm here now. All right, let's do this.
Versus the Dark Seed or Dark Side, depending on pronunciation.
I'll get into that. Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, he looked very formidable. He's going to have his little posse with him, whoever the four new people that they introduced. But the way that it started with Thor hitting the windshield.
I thought that was Iron Man.
No, it was Thor. Thor hits the windshield. It's immediately following the events of Thor Ragnarok.
I thought it was like Iron Man hitting the windshield of Milano.
No, whatever happens at the end of Thor Ragnarok, he's out floating in space, and he literally hits the windshield, and they're like, they bring him in, and Mantis revives him.
And
haven't seen this yet, have you?
No.
Speaking of Thor Ragnarok, did you hear the little story about Thor Ragnarok? What I've been hearing about is that a good chunk of the movie, a lot of the lines were improvised, including the infamous, "I know him, he's a friend from work." That line came up because they have had a Make-A-Wish kid come on set to watch some of the filming, and his recommendation was to Chris Hemsworth, "Can you say you know him from work?" And he was like, "You know, I think that fits. Let's try it.
That's good stuff, kid.
And it made it into the movie. It's like, and it's just, it fits Thor's character so well, too. It's like, "I know him. He's a friend of work."
That's awesome. Yeah. The Thor Ragnarok trailer, yeah, it was good. It's a very busy movie, it looks
right,
like.
Yeah.
It looks like there's a lot going on.
And a lot of people
were trying to stay focused and not talk through the movie.
Well, I worry that it's too much. They're trying to tie up a lot of loose ends. Like, where has Thor been during the last
year? I think that's what they're trying to cover in this.
Right.
Because between then and now, we're getting in reference to where Hulk has been. And where Thor went from Ultron.
Right.
So we're getting that, and a lot of people have been complaining that Thor is talking. Not Thor, Hulk is talking. He seems more lucid. Well,
depending on how long you've been reading comic books,
he's either a brain dead
Hulk, he's either a super intelligent Grey Hulk, or he is just regular old, like, Bruce Banner, but big and green.
But for the most part, the past couple of years, I haven't been reading for the past, but when I was reading Hulk, there's been dialogue other than Hulk smash. He's been very lucent.
It's people that don't read. I mean, right. Again, we're kind of picking on the outsiders, but...
we got an Inhumans trailer, which will be kind of a movie release prior to...
Now I'm going to boohoo this.
Is this a movie or is this a TV series?
Basically, it's going to be the pilot. There's going to be a movie that's going to be, in essence, a pilot for the TV series, meaning mid-September there's going to be a movie, then end of September the series is going to start.
Because I know in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, I can't remember what TV show is, I'm slacking there. They kind of introduced it with Daisy.
They did that, and I think they're going to incorporate where the initial Inhumans came from.
Right.
And hopefully, fingers crossed, they're going to incorporate more of the two
in
reference to the TV shows. But
We'll see.
Right.
ABC has a nasty habit, and Marvel has been having a nasty habit of, oh, we want to incorporate everything, but screw you.
Right.
So,
but doing that with the CW.
In terms of, like,
that's where the CW is most likely winning in reference to this, that they are at least TV show wise, right, that they're incorporating Legends of Tomorrow with Arrow, with Supergirl, with Flash.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but I'm gonna boohoo it a little bit because I'm just not a big fan of what they've done with the characters. I mean, Lockjaw looks cool. He's a big dog. I don't like how Black Bolt looks, and he's a lot more powerful than like what they're kind of like portraying in the trailer, at least. I mean, if I watch the movie, I might change my mind. If I watch the series or whatever, I might change my mind. But literally, like, he like says no and blows a cop car over. If he said no at that volume, according to comic book lore, I think he'd blow like about 5 blocks away. Like, apparently, like, he yelled at Hulk one time and almost exploded the moon. Like, he's the only person that actually took on Hulk and won.
We also got it. I don't know if you see this. It's going to be a Netflix. I think this is a Netflix show. It's called Bright. It's Will Smith.
It's not a show. It's a movie. Did you see the trailer for it?
That's the Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith.
Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was a TV show.
No, it's a movie. It's an exclusive movie. It's Will Smith and Joel Edgerton, and it looks incredible.
It does, but
I can't wait.
In some of the circles I've been looking at, a lot of people are kind of making fun of it a little bit because they know these are geeks that know their history, and like, why does this remind me of Alienation?
It is. It's going to be exactly like Alienation, but I think
with a little bit more fantasy to it.
I think I want to say that it's almost like mythical characters.
Right. That's why I say fantasy based.
Right. Right. I mean, come on, people. You can't. It's a fantasy series. I mean, it's a sci-fi series. It looks a lot. You know what it reminds me of?
Stand corrected. It's not a sci-fi series. It's a Netflix series. Right, so you're going to get better CGI.
Well, that's true. But you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of those. What's his name? Neil Blomkamp movie. Blomkamp. What is his name? The guy that did. With the aliens living in the camp.
District 9.
It reminds me of like a District 9 kind of thing. Almost like where it's like it's everything whatever happened, and it's like super commonplace, like Alienation. But Alienation was like really like about racism, more or less.
Yeah.
This to me, it seems like it has that tone to it, like it's a little bit like that, but it's like I don't know. I just like the premise that like it's like how
you'll give it a shot.
Yeah. And the soundtrack was on.
I know. This is not part
I couldn't get that part out of my head.
Before we continue, I know one of Nick Hunt, who we had on the show a couple times, he brought up an article today about a movie that wants to be made or be coming out. It's called Shark House. And my response to him in reference to it when I was watching it was like, or at least reading the article, was, why?
Why? Yeah.
Really?
Well,
the fuck?
A movie,
really?
A
the fuck?
Movie,
the Shark
called,
House? Really?
A movie called Dick Nato just came out. So,
but
really, why?
Really? He said.
Well, also, Dick Shark Dick or Dick Shark? That was another one that came out. So,
and,
yeah.
And the thing is, the article said that the person that made Shark House is put out by the same guy that wants to parody the Sharknado movies. Wait, why?
Right?
Why? First question, why would you want to parody it? Second question, why are they still making sequels to fucking Sharknado? the only reason why kind of cursing is because Big Candy's kid is no longer in the conference.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. The other one, I don't know if you have this one written down.
What, the Player One?
Player One.
Oh,
Looks amazing.
Depending on, I want to see it once. I might have to. It's one of those movies that, depending on how
well it's made, I might have to watch several times because.
I watched the trailer several times. I saw Batman riding a scorpion. I saw Freddy Krueger.
I saw Iron Giant.
Did you write down like I did?
I did. Iron Giant. I saw Freddy Krueger. I saw the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Oh my god! And it was racing with the Tron bike.
Yeah, I saw the Tron bike.
Oh my god!
I was like,
somebody finally did it. They finally did it. And I was so happy.
Leave it to Steven Spielberg, son of a bitch. Now I got to read the fucking book.
And was Deadpool with Iron Giant?
I don't know.
If you look at the bottom, it looks like Deadpool coming over the hill, looks because of the swords.
I'm like, oh my god! It's just
it looks crazy. It looks like you're just immersed in this world of just like insanity.
And it's Stephen King, so you're gonna not Stephen King. It's gonna be Steven Spielberg, so you're gonna have a solid story behind this. Yeah. So you're gonna be going to it's like the fuck in a good way, like the fuck. Yo, projections, rewind that shit. I want to see that again.
Yeah, let's watch this in slow-mo.
And we also had the Justice League trailer drop. It was a 4-minute trailer. And it was just like, really, that's Darkseid?
Yeah.
And the reason why I keep doing it is because you hear two different pronunciations. The official and unofficial pronunciation. It's the same character, and it's like that doesn't look like the person,
I'm just not impressed with DC right now. I don't know. I like Wonder Woman. I did. I thought Wonder Woman was really good. Now, that's probably the most exciting part of the trailer was getting to see Wonder Woman again. But I'm tired. I don't hate Batfleck.
Right.
But I don't love Batfleck.
Speaking of Justice League, and all that, there was a rumor coming out of San Diego. First rumor was, I'm just tying into the Justice League trailer.
Yeah. Who makes the appearance at the end?
Not so much appearance at the end. That's one of the things he had several people saying it was going to be Green Lantern. Other people going saying that it was going to be Superman. We'll see. We'll see. Probably be Superman. Because
you think they're going to leave him dead?
No. But the main rumor was right before San Diego Comic-Con started, rumor was being tossed out that Affleck was no longer going to be Batman. But he came out during the panel saying, that's untrue, I'm going to still be Batman. These are his words. And also news that came out, I think the other day, despite all the smiles and the positivity that came out of, we'll get into the more positivity that came out of that particular panel, there appears to be 2 months worth of reshoots that they're doing.
Wow.
And it's going to cost between $10 to $25 million more.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of people are worried. I'm kind of worried, like, why are there reshoots? Well, there's reshoots anyway sometimes, but not 2 months worth of fucking reshoots.
Right.
And especially when I heard the reshoots for a Suicide Squad, and that means something's fucking totally wrong.
Wrong, right.
And what's totally fucking wrong that they need 2 months worth of fucking reshoots? And because that's, in essence, like you're redoing the whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Because most movies take about 2 to 4 months anyway to do.
Right.
So that means you got to bring the cast back in. And this is why a lot of DC fans are wondering, why aren't we doing, DC movies are doing, for the exception of Wonder Woman,
are not doing
as well as Marvel movies. That's why. Somebody's screwing up.
Well, they might want to put more Wonder Woman in it. That might be why they're doing the reshoots, because like she was super popular, so they might not have enough of her in there.
And speaking of Wonder Woman, despite all the hate Gal Gadot has been getting in reference to her military past and all that,
Jesus.
And a lot of people have been saying in reference to that.
Oh, did you hear that? Everybody's upset because she killed a kitten.
No.
You ever hear about this?
No. So, I guess some troll says she killed a kitten.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a thing with the Israeli army is you're supposed to raise a kitten from birth and then break its neck.
So apparently,
this is like I cannot confirm nor deny. I just know that I heard somewhere that this is a thing that they do with the Israeli army. It's something to make you like
tougher.
Tougher, yeah.
But it's a parenting,
and then break its neck.
So, in essence, it could be propaganda from one side or another,
right?
Without actual confirmation or witnessing people actually do it,
right?
But the positivity side of things. Apparently, after the panel, you have a signing. Right. I don't know if the charge or what have you, mm-hmm. but I think for the most part, I want to say it's a free signing because it's part promotion. And during the signing, I want to say she was no more than 10. A little girl comes up to, you know, Gal Gadot going through the line, dressed up, Party City type of Wonder Woman outfit. Complete awe of Gal Gadot starts tearing up.
Right.
And apparently, because of this, we shared it, I think I shared it on our Facebook page. She starts comforting, you know, this girl. Like, it's a, you know, don't worry. And it was for, because she became overwhelmed and began to cry. Gal Gadot reached across the table and, you know, just told her, you hear her say that it's kind of hard to pick up, but you do hear herself telling her that there's no reason to cry. Everything's okay. We're here together. It's okay. And that's when Ryza Miller, you know, the Flash, who was, when you see it, he was on her right.
Yeah.
Pretty much tells her, I couldn't make it out, but in the article I was reading, it says, your warrior, your ability to cry is what makes you such a warrior. Come join the Justice League whenever you get ready. You know, it's, right. You know, trying to comfort the, you know, 10-year-old instead of, saying, you know, look at you, you crybaby, you know, and so forth and so on. It was a way of, it's okay, you're strong, yeah. you're allowed to cry. It wasn't a put down, it was a way of just comforting her and building her up. So it was just, and the mom was saying, like, Gal was so sweet to her, the memories of a lifetime. She was so happy, you know, that she was so happy to meet Gal Gadot. She was tearing up. So it, and the comments was such a, I'm just saying, it was such a troll fest for, you know.
Yeah.
How does Gal got near this? She was, no, she was, in essence, a drill sergeant.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Or equivalent, she was a trainer. Yeah. And it's like, how dare you? It's like,
they always do that. People will find any reason to tear someone else down.
Always.
Well, they were tearing her down before the movie even came out. So now the movie came out and it's really popular. They don't like it because of her history. Well, get over it. Sorry. That's my answer. I like the movie. I mean, there's parts where I think it was dragging, but that's any movie. Just because her as a person did stuff in our past. We all did something in our past. Get over it. That's what I have to say. Sorry.
It's okay. Some of the other news that we got the Flash movie still kind of
limbo. Star Trek Discovery. Right. How do you feel about that? When is it supposed
to take place? Between Enterprise and, from what I heard, between Enterprise and
regular series.
But I've heard in reference to Star Trek Discovery, there has been so many changes that Star Trek Discovery is a bastardized version of what it was originally supposed to be. Because it was supposed to be in canon with the original, meaning it was supposed to be in canon between Enterprise and the original series.
Right.
Now it's part of the new movie updated universe.
Oh.
And because of all these changes, the reshoots, the executive changes, and people quit, the cast doesn't want to be a part of this anymore. Wow. They want out of the contracts.
Wow. And they're pushing it pretty hard, too. And because
the people that, some of the, like, the person that was supposed to be captain is now like a chief engineer. Right. This person is this. Instead of, oh, we're going to get rid of this captain and put, you know, this in there. And they're making it a little
bit. Sad, dude. And they're putting it behind the trailer.
And the thing is, they're putting it behind a paywall. That's CBS.
Are they really?
Like, you know how the CW app, you could log into the CBS, turn on the app, and watch any CW program, right, especially their quote-unquote seeded shows.
Right.
Which one of was announced, I forgot what it was, at San Diego. But you could go into the app and watch whatever it is completely for free.
Right.
Granted, there's adverts, but you could watch for free.
You can watch for free.
With the CBS app, it's behind a paywall.
Yeah.
They're pretty much saying, give us like $10 a month to watch these programs. I don't know if they have adverts or not. That's the sad thing about it.
Yeah.
And no one's going to watch it because who wants to pay $10 a month?
Right.
Especially
on top of everything else.
Right. Especially if I had cable, why do I want to pay an extra $10 a month just to watch one show?
That's true.
That's going to come out weekly. So, and you and I are both cord cutters. Why spend an extra $10 a month for an app that, you know, again, watch one show where we could watch it on Netflix, or if at all,
yeah,
if they decide to put it on Netflix or Hulu. But
probably Hulu.
We also got word that Spawn is one step closer to being made.
Yep. With Todd McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane
directing.
Directing. He's going to be behind the wheel.
Can you believe that?
It's the company that is going to be distributing it, I think funding it as well. It's going to be Blumhouse.
Who does all the horror?
They do. They're known for the Paranormal Activity movies, Purge.
Yep.
And like I said, it's going to be rated R, so there's a good chance it's going to be very, if not well funded, mm-hmm, it's going to be done well.
Right.
Because I think Blumhouse has that reputation of, you want to do it, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. You know, take the wheel. We'll just give you, you know, here's money. So.
Yeah, I think if it's in his hands, he's going to treat it like how he wants it to be treated, as a dark, you know, brooding movie that it should be.
And I don't know if this was lots during San Diego or it was just before. Ron Howard is going to be directing the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
As much as I'm not a big fan of Ron Howard's work, yeah, I could respect him as a director because he knows how to do things visually and do a good story.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I think Crowler asked his brother if he was going to be in it in any way, shape, or form, because Ron tends to put his brother in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't say anything. I'm not allowed. And so he said, as much as I want to, he's like, I just know that there's a script and I've seen it. That's all I'm telling.
Did you see the new Star Wars behind the scenes footage?
It was like a
trailer / commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
We also got during San Diego. What was funny is we got a new trailer, or what was called the thriller trailer for Stranger Things, which is coming the end of October this year.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, one of the geek news sites that I follow on Facebook, they put it up. I watched it and I was like, I got to share this.
Yeah.
And when I got back in, I went to share it. This was no more than 8 minutes later. Gone.
Yeah.
It was like gone. I'm like,
yeah.
I went back and I messaged the guy who runs the site. I was like, because it said link is now unavailable. I'm like, was this where you put the Stranger Things trail? He was like, yeah. He's like, you do realize it's gone now. Where to go? He was like, yeah. It's like, I was going to share this to my site. What the hell? It's like, this is, I want people to see this. This is, you know, I'm stoked. And he's like, same here. Where'd it go? But between that point and like an hour later, it was back up in full glory. And so, I was like, what the hell? This Stranger Things Facebook page puts up a trailer and takes it down 8 minutes later?
Yeah.
That's a little weird. That's a little strange, may I say. We also got an announcement in around the same time of San Diego Atari is putting out a new console, but when I looked into it, no one is there, other than this is our console. There is nothing about it other than this is what it looks like.
Wow.
And there's nothing reference to if it's being a streaming box or what games are going to be part of it or included. There's nothing. I was like, maybe Alpha Omega Sin knows something about it. And his rant was, well, I looked into it stronger than you guys, and there's nothing about it. I'm like, fuck, what the hell?
Yeah.
But
can you make me a little happy meal?
No.
Make me a happy meal.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Build it.
There's Arrow, The Flash, build Defenders.
Defenders.
Build it.
The Defenders. Iron Fist is getting a new showrunner.
That's awesome.
Punisher's getting his own series.
Its own series. Defenders comes out next month. So does, I think.
Flash is in October.
Supergirl. That's the thing about the CW stuff. A lot of them were just not so much trailers for the next season. They seemed like summaries of the past season. And that was it. Like, right. Supernatural trailer was just a summary of what happened up to that point. That's it.
Well, I've been slacking on shows. We kind of, like, stopped with our Netflix for now. And we got Hulu back. So I've been watching more DVDs and all this stuff and watching everything on phone. So I need to catch up, so I can't really speak about that. But who's seen the new trailer for the Pacific Rim Uprising?
Not yet.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about next.
That looks awesome.
It does.
And the new, the, also with Will Smith, Bright.
We talked about that earlier in the bathroom.
Well, I have to go to the bathroom.
I know. Go ahead and say what you want to say about it.
What did you want to say about
it?
Well, I'm staying there for a second.
I don't know.
Well, it looks good. I like the fact that because I read books about all that stuff, the fantasy world and stuff. It's really cool that you actually see it on TV where humans and like elves, fairies, species from different dimensions actually working together or against each other. And you know, you kind of look at it now, even though it's not really here, but people act that way as it is. So then you mix up all the fantasy world, you think. It's pretty cool to my sight because how the two characters interact with each other.
The buddy cop aspect.
It's not so much the buddy cop aspect. I think we brought it up in reference to the trope in reference to what Will Smith and his new partner are going through.
I hate to use that word,
but that's what it is. You're going to have this human person that's greatly hated against you. You've seen that with Alienation. You've seen that with
the training aspect.
True. Yeah. You've seen it in
it. Yeah, it's a common thing. You know, it's especially with that type of movie, Alienation back in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. Most recently, what was it with Urban? Carl Urban. It was like a. Back in 2015, 2014.
I know what you're talking about.
He was like...
it was like a robot.
His partner was like a more... almost. I think it was like almost human. I think it was.
Yeah. And the only thing what I get tired of these networks is some of these shows do really good and they cancel them. That show was actually doing good. They had good following. The thing is, because they put all these stupid other shows, the reality shows. Don't get me wrong. There's a few I like, but... They look at that more, and then you have these... I liked it a little bit more, like, sci-fi and action to the point, because it brings people in. Mm-hmm. But also, like, some of the shows that they put on, The Bachelorette. I want to see who gets married. I want to see people doing stuff. That's your business.
The main reason why Almost Human was canceled was because it was too expensive.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, when you use special effects, like, I've always been a big fan of Charmed. A lot of the special effects that they had to do was expensive, and the...
Did you hear they're coming... Charmed is coming back, too, from what I hear.
Well,
it's rumored, but...
Well, it's comic book form right now, so is it going to continue?
Well, it's like...
I have no idea. All I hear is possibly coming back to TV.
Wow. Well, it's like Alyssa Milano's character, she was supposed to be... she could levitate, but they took that off because of the money it cost. And then a lot of the characters toward the end of the season, they really kind of
dates out. Itself too. It costs too much money to have her levitate now. Like they have people flying around on like cheap shows,
right?
And so sure,
if Charm came back now, and with really good writers,
yeah,
it could be a top show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I don't
especially
know
for Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, for like especially yeah for Hulu or Netflix. Yeah, I can see it being like a kind of top show.
Before our kind of time runs out, I want to get briefly into the Destiny 2 beta. I did have, because I pre-ordered in the public beta, I checked last night
right
at like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. The beta was still going strong,
right?
Even though it was supposed to end Sunday.
Right.
My issues with it was the cover and some of the you were given two Crucible type things. I didn't play the one, but the one I was playing and I was enjoying was called, in essence, it's, if you played, for those who listening, played Call of Duty, it's like domination, which means you have point A, point B, point C, and teams are supposed to cover as many as you can. The thing is, granted, this is just a demo,
right,
a beta.
Yeah.
From what I heard, a lot of what I'm about to say has been fixed or will be fixed.
Right.
Jumping for some of the characters is either way too high, meaning there's no in between.
Right.
Meaning if you tap it once, you're not going to clear that ledge. But if you tap it twice to clear it, and there's a danger point above it, you're going to hit it
every time.
Every time. So you have to time it just like a hair to miss it. Because the in Destiny, there's rechargeables, like grenades are rechargeable. There's a secondary, like you could toss a knife, and a dodge is rechargeable, along with the health. They take too long.
Really?
They know about this. Hey, Mommy. To me, the strike was... Strike sucked. Big time. One is that because Bungie wanted to balance everything and they kind of overdid it, the guns in the Crucible or the multiplayer, player versus player, are fine. But when you bring it over to the Strike, they're worthless. Everything is a bullet sponge, including the main boss at the end of it. It was like, oh, you're going up against an M1 A1 tank. Here's a Red Ryder BB gun. And the cover there was like, the main boss shot at you, and you were behind a thick stone barrier, you'd still get hit
every time,
and it wasn't just one couple hits and you're able
critical
to leak. It's critical damage.
Yeah.
It was like, why? What's the point of having cover nonetheless?
Right.
And it wasn't just that main, with that main boss, it's like one or two hits and you're gone.
Yeah.
Three hits from the minions, the average minions, still.
Not those minions.
Oh.
Oops.
The
main story was interesting.
Llama.
It's just that a lot of it is, let's see here, metal wall, like I said, the barriers couldn't block worth a shit.
Right.
Don't mean to curse in front of Caleb. So, there is, with the main boss being that type of bullet sponge.
Don't say bad words.
Where in the original Destiny, if I was where my fire team left because they're whatever, I was able to still defeat that final boss in the strike. No chance in hell. Not to mention limited to three people in the strike.
Wow.
Where initially you could have four people. Or, and like, why are you still putting a cap on this? Put five people. Put 10 people in it. Make it more fun, more of a group app activity. Why limited to three? Only limited to three.
Wow.
I did enjoy it. It's just that
Blue eyes.
The
the tag, there was no way to change the avatar. Meaning, you're with the aspect of it all.
Right.
Just making sure. The where's that going? The avatar when you're like with the hunter, mm-hmm. your avatar comes up before domination. It's purely feminine. You can tell it's a female. Nothing wrong with it. Again, demo.
Right.
But at least give some sort of option.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it. I'm not complaining that it's a feminine character. It just, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
It's. And there were some glitches from what I found out that from those who managed to beat the strike boss, mm-hmm. that it was dropping loot that it wasn't supposed to be dropping. The ammo, the heavy ammo, wasn't spawning as much as it should have been. And a lot of the other ammo wasn't spawning as much as it should have been. And so, again, these are issues that Bungie is or will be fixing. One of the things that Bungie put out that I found out was that on Sunday, the final day of the open beta, the farm, which is the one of three social spaces, meaning if you're the hunter, you get the farm. If you're this the Titan, you get this particular social space. If you're this, you get this. You have a choice. The farm was going to be available the final day of the open beta. It was. For 1 hour.
Really?
Yeah, for 1 hour.
And then?
That's it. And the only way I knew the farm was going to be open was I was watching one of these YouTube news channels. Like, hey, for the last day, for a special treat for all the people with the open beta, you get to have the social space. Come to find out, you know, I went to play Magic again with a couple of friends, come home. Why I'm not being able to, you know, go into the farm, the social space, I want to look at it. So, because of, you know, today. I've come to find out, only open 1 hour. I'm like, really? Really? That's how you treat people that work on weekends? You only limit it to 1 hour between 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Really? I don't know. It's marketing.
It's hard marketing. It's, you know, it's like, where was this posted? On their boards? On their website? Well, if you don't have access to your phone or anything like that, or you don't visit their website, or doing something profane, you know, something sexual to Bungie themselves, how do you know this? You know,
in terms of stuff he likes, they just announced yesterday that today there would be a release from Tiny Build for the Who's Your Neighbor? Not Who's Your Neighbor?
The Hello Neighbor.
I always say Who's Your Neighbor is the other game. It's the fake one.
Yeah.
But
that's Hello Neighbor.
Hello Neighbor. The beta that they unveiled at E3 is now playable today.
And it's going to be on
Xbox. It took out a lot of secrets.
And you can pre-order it and not on Xbox One because it's on Xbox One.
We can get him to do anything else besides playing video games and watching YouTube videos. Would be great.
Hey, Caleb, what about Bendy and the Ink Machine?
Oh, boy.
That's a game where you're basically in a workshop and then when the ink machine gets boarded up, Bendy pops up as the ink and then you have to run and then the hole just, the ground just breaks open and it's for chapter 2.
Now what's the note from at the beginning? What's the note say?
Dear Henry, seems like a life since you worked on cartoons. Bring your stuff and come back to us. Let's do a workshop and then you show yourself your best pal, Joey Drew. And then you go to the ink machine and says, this is the ink machine. When did I turn it on?
It's like he's been playing it or something. So, he loves these games. The other day, he has this doll. I got him a Bendy doll that appeared one day at the house. He was peeking at him while he was going to take it down. And he takes it everywhere with him.
And that's from, like, he was doing this from where you're coming for the ink flow in chapter 1.
Yeah. So,
that Bendy caught up.
We were in the store the other day, and a lady goes, "Oh, who's that?" Bends down, looks at him, and he's like, "He's a devil." And the lady was like, "Oh, that's not him." So, yeah, he loved Bendy the Ink Machine and Hello Neighbor, which they released their game today. Same way it was the E3. It's actually being released on Xbox One X or whatever, and it's all pre-order. You can pre-order it right now. I'm excited because the finished version of that game is really awesome if you're like puzzle solvers and stuff like that. And then there's the, what's the other one? Oh, the PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. So if you're a fan of PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, if you've ever played it before, that's coming out, I think, for Xbox One as well. I've been watching that for probably a couple months now, watching the, who was it, One Shot Girl?
Yeah.
She's been playing it online, and I like to watch her play because she always gets a lot of interesting characters on there playing. But basically, the basis between for Battlegrounds is that you are dropped into an area with nothing. So you don't have clothes on. You have to go find pants. You have to go find a shirt. You have to go find guns. You have to go find, everything. Provisions. Like, you have to go find, like, med kits and stuff like that. You collect stuff, and as you're playing against 100 other people, the map is getting smaller. So, like, it's like gas or like electricity that's moving in, that if you get stuck in it, it'll kill you. So you're being forced.
Kind of like the Hunting Games.
Yeah. So you're being forced to play other people the whole time you're doing it. And at like you get smaller into this circle, smaller, 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 down to like 24, 15 people, like that. And it gets really intense. Like you can play in groups of, you can play as a solo, you can play in groups of two. Groups of four, I think up to groups of eight.
Wow.
It's pretty neat. So I can't wait
for that. How can we get a group of five to go to a haunted house? How can we get a group to play this?
Well, this is online. So like you'll find your people online or random people and play with them. Right. Or you can play with friends. But I think that game's going to be amazing.
It probably was. Because if it happened in real life, I don't even like wearing shirts that have a V-neck.
Right.
Too much.
So you can drop naked in the woods and... You have to go find clothes, and you'd be like, "This won't fit." So you're like, you got all these like, weird tight fitting clothes all running around trying to shoot people.
I'll be worried about covering everything and shooting something.
As a case, remember?
Party foul.
As a case.
Don't break now I'm going to have to listen to the tail end.
As a case, remember?
I walked out to use the men's room and
walked in a really,
really bad
time.
Conversation.
No, we're talking about PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. You know that one?
I think so.
That's one where you gotta like hunt for clothes, and so they kind of drop you naked in the middle of nowhere, and you have to hunt for clothes, weapons, provisions, ammo, all kinds of stuff, and then you fight. And as you fight, the map gets smaller.
Oh, I think you were talking about that.
Yeah, that one. And there's one. I don't know if they're adapting the other one. There's another one called King of the Kill. It's a lot like that, but I think there's a lot more options for like clothes and stuff. I think you get. It's like clown masks, and I know you can steal police cars and more contemporary vehicles. But that one's just like that too.
I don't know if you've seen that particular reposting on Facebook or something like that. I think it was from like Tumblr. It was like a person in armor, and people were complaining that at least in reference, it turns out to be a funny post, but people were complaining that the armor was not feminine enough,
right?
And it was standard male, and it was like one person brought up the fact, how is not dying? Because the person wearing it seemed like it was a female, right. And the person commented was like, how is not dying sexist?
Why you see? Everything's sexist now.
But
I was looking at my Facebook a year ago, Pokemon Go came out, and I put it on my Facebook for all. Pokemon Go, the new birth control.
Yeah.
Apparently they were supposed to do Harry Potter. What happened to that one?
They are filming, I think, the sequel for it.
Oh, I was talking about the game.
Oh, the game?
I can't wait for
like
that
Pokemon
one.
Pokemon Go, they were supposed to do one like Harry Potter, where like you're a wizard and you have to go around and there's like wizardy stuff.
Well.
yeah. I haven't heard anything about that.
They were also supposed to do one. It was like that, but it was Grand Theft Auto. I don't want that game to come out. I don't want to get carjacked.
What county do you is Winchester in? Loudoun?
Frederick?
Yeah. Because there was somebody through one of the YouTube channels I was looking at. There was like this person from Loudoun County stealing like tires and rims, like the whole tire, all four tires, and leaving the cars on cinder blocks. And from what I was hearing from the story, he'd kind of wait and hand out business cards to resell the tires back. He got caught. He did this in like three or four states. He got caught in New Jersey. Got extradited back here to, because you wanted here in Virginia. Sentenced to 132 years plus 60 months in jail.
Wow.
Just here in Virginia.
Oh my.
He's got like four other court cases to do.
That's hilarious. I get kind of stuck watching those. I don't know if you've ever seen them, like that nice judge, Frank.
I know.
Castile. I got stuck watching that this morning, like when I first woke up. It was like, what's it called? Like, Caught in Providence or something like that. Oh my god. Some of the cases he's in, like, the people they know they're on camera, like, he made one girl do like a handstand in court. Huh? Your first. Well, we gotta wrap it up.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm gonna wrap it up. That's it. Well, we have a good program for you today. We got to wrap it up. It's a little bit short this time around, shorter than our average norm of 2 hours as of late. But
I have to go work.
You know what? I'll get you a drink if you tell them something.
I have to go save people.
You got to go say. You got to say. Click that button, like, and subscribe.
No. Special thanks to Big Candy's wife, Crystal, showing up for the.
After I took a nap in the car.
For a chunk of the show, and Big Candy's little one, Caleb, who's been a little bit talkative. As always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes / Apple Podcasts, as well as Google Play Music. You can also like us on Facebook, stalk us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/... The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. You can also listen to every episode since the beginning at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, as well as you can stalk us on Twitter and Instagram just by looking up the name Long Coat Mafia. So, and if you have any comments, questions, or whatever, you can also email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. So, thanks for listening, folks, and we are gone. Any last words?
Audi 5000.
Okay. Any last words, Caleb?
Want to tell me everything? Okay.
All right.
Bye.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.